Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. From Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist, here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
We are right here with Mike Winters.
Well, as long as you push those right buttons. We are.
Don't shh.
Oh, I wanna see. I mean, I could have done that.
That's true. Well, a happy belated birthday. You see your card over there?
I got a card?
Yeah.
Whoa. Man, birthday boy. Yeah. Well, thank you, whoever did that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Some of the gals started.
Oh, that's cool. I appreciate that. Thank
you. All right.
If any of you are listening, thank you.
well, what's new, Mike?
Oh, it's a beautiful day. It's real spring, and it's gorgeous. And the last few days have been gorgeous.
Oh, it has.
And if it stayed this way through the entire summer, it would be perfect.
But unfortunately.
Unfortunately, it'll probably get a little warmer down the road, I'm sure. But, you know, such is life in the fast lane here in Douglas County, isn't it? Well, thank you for listening today. And if you have any gardening questions, no matter what I'm talking about, you may interrupt me and ask your question, and I will give you an answer.
Shall we test the lines and make sure they're working?
I hope so. That's your job.
All I
do is talk.
They're working.
And if you do have a question, the number is 673-4464.
Cool.
And what I'm going to talk about here at first on the first part of the show is just a bit different from my usual spiel because I kind of got a little political here along the lines.
Uh-oh.
But it's a political, well, you'll see. it's okay. Not too bad. But there's good advice through here nonetheless.
China?
No, nothing about China. No. It's about water and restricting farmers from their usual ration of water so they can grow the crops that feed people. Uh-huh. But the government, in their wisdom, says, oh, the fish are more important.
Well, our governor wouldn't do that.
Oh, of course not. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, we've never had a year like 2021 with so many requests for landscaping projects. It's kind of amazing. We've been overwhelmed with requests. I need a bid. I need a consultation. I need a plan. And I've probably responded positively to, 80%, 90% of them. But there's been a bunch we've just given away to my competition out there. There's a few guys that do a good job, and we pass We pass on projects to them, and sometimes they get them, and sometimes they don't.
But it's called working together.
Yeah, it's called working together. So I have a good relationship with my competitors, for goodness sakes. What a concept. Anyway, we're giving away most of the jobs to other landscape companies now, and I'm telling my people at the nursery, tell them I can't do it. And one guy asked, well, how long are you out? And my wife says, well, how about next spring? He says, I'll wait.
Is that right?
What? Are you nuts? What do you do? You wait a year?
Wow.
Well,
you must be good, Mike.
I am. I'm so good I can't even believe myself here. But there's just too many to handle. And the last client I saw 2 weeks ago, I scheduled him for September, and he said, okay, that's great. Didn't even blink an eye. Hmm. And so that's how far out I am.
Wow.
And hopefully I can get there in that time. I don't know.
Have you gotten any help?
No, that's the problem.
Still no help.
No help. Hey, anybody want to work?
Yeah.
You know, that's what, digging holes, planting trees, you know, putting in sprinklers and stuff like that.
Actual activity.
Yeah, and healthy stuff, too, out in the sunshine, all that kind of stuff.
Well, just in case somebody happened to hear us,
yeah.
What's your phone number there to get in contact with you?
Where? The nursery?
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell.
For the job application.
Oh. 679-8224 is the nursery number. And I'm also going through Express Employment, too. So there's several avenues there to explore. So, and that's what I say, our biggest challenge is hiring help, you know.
Yeah.
I've tried for a year, and I've gotten two guys. One didn't show up when he was supposed to, so I never saw him again. And one lasted 3 weeks, but he was
gone.
My crew said, no, we got to get rid of this guy.
Oh, no.
You know, he was not, and he was, He's driving my crew truck like crazy. So, you know,
really?
Yeah, it was good to get rid of that guy.
Tried to burn a little carbon out of it?
Yeah, you know, it's an old truck here. But this one guy that I interviewed on a Friday several months ago, and I said, well, I'll be here Monday morning, 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
7 o'clock rolled around.
No show.
So, and I got him through Express Employment, and I called Express, and I said, hey. And I explained the situation. She said, I'll call. And she called me back a few hours later and says, there's no answer at his phone.
Well, imagine that.
I don't know where in the heck it is.
Maybe his parole officer called.
No, this guy was really squared away.
He?
I mean, I liked him immediately. I took him on the tour of the nursery and showed him this and that and what we did and why we did it, blah, blah, blah. And he was very receptive to what I was saying.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he was intelligent. And I thought, man, I scored a good one, right?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Mm. He fooled me a little bit.
Now you know, maybe. What? You never know.
Oh, gosh. And then the other challenge that we're experiencing, and I'm sure other businesses are, as I've heard, is trying to get products, you know, like plants, fertilizers, et cetera. This one company we've been doing business with for 30 years, you know, for the chemicals, the fertilizers and sprays and all that kind of stuff. We placed an order, in January, I think it was, or something like that. We still haven't got the product. And they say, well, you know, we got this and we got that and we got.
Yeah.
So my wife last week said, cancel my order. I don't want it. And she called this other company that we did business with once before.
Uh-huh.
And there was a lady there, like within 2 days, taking our order and assuring us that you'll get your product here.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I'm thinking, well, why couldn't the other one
do that?
It wasn't. So, and then, you know, getting certain plants. I cruise through the whole state looking at different plant materials, and it's amazing how many plants are not in stock or in short supply or too small or they don't.
Just not there.
Yeah, it's all through our industry, and, of course, in the restaurant industry and the bar industry and, the, you know, I was in some grocery store. Well, big ones. I don't know, Walmart. Yeah, it was Walmart. I walked in there a couple weeks ago to get something, and I couldn't believe all the empty shelves in Walmart. There was probably, you know, six aisles of empty shelves in this one certain area.
Wow.
And I thought, whoa, Walmart?
That's scary.
It was weird. It was weird, and it wasn't food. It was just stuff.
Toilet paper?
Maybe. I don't know. It wasn't there. I didn't know. But it was.
Yeah, true. Yeah. China is slipping a little.
Yeah, I know. They need to get some more toilet paper in there. But, you know, there's a lot of businesses experiencing these same problems.
Yeah, it's kind of.
And this, you know, this COVID garbage has turned our economy upside down and backwards.
Sure has.
And the politicians that are supposedly watching out for us and our best interests are playing along in the game like our beloved governor, et cetera. And then, you know, shut this down, shut that down, and shut these restaurants down. And, you know, so many people are out of work. So many people are hurting. And it's beyond my comprehension.
Yeah, I'm getting some dirty looks, so we better get rolling on plants.
Well, I am. I'm getting there, and if too bad. Don't listen if you don't want to. But at any rate, but the upside is that the nursery and florist are busy.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a lot of people coming in, and they'll request something, but we're not full on capacity for the plant materials that we usually have this time of year because we can't get the darn things.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm going, geez Louise, man. And or they're 2 weeks late or they're 3 weeks late in delivering because they're having their own problems, whether it's personnel.
That puts you way back on your schedule.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm not a box store, so I can't order, you know, $100,000 worth of plants at a whack, you know. And but the nursery is busy, and people that are coming into the nursery, they're interested in plants.
Right.
They're interested in gardening, and I'm going to get into that part. But they're friendly. They're enthusiastic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like, wow, I got out of town, and I'm now at the nursery. This is cool. This is good.
This is nice.
Yeah. And they're coming in, of course, for their vegetable plants and for their home gardens. But we have received what we've received in our vegetable plants is not the usual size. They're little tiny things.
Yeah.
Like they just started to grow last week and they shipped them.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've had to put them in the greenhouse now for a week or so to, you know, get them up to saleable size.
Right.
And that's never happened in the past either.
Mm.
And the things, of course, that we grew, they're great. We got, you know, hundreds of strawberry plants and stuff like that we kept over from last year and potted up. And they're big. I mean, they got flowers on them. They're ready to start popping strawberries.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the vegetable plants are, you know, just in short supply as well. And that's the growers, just wholesale growers out there. That's all they do. Mm-hmm. They are short.
They're
on materials, yeah. And seed companies are running short on their products. You order X amount of vegetable seeds, you know, from so you can have your seed rack full. Mm-hmm. Well, they don't have it. They don't have this, or they don't have that, or and they don't know when they're going to get it. So,
not a good thing.
No. So if you can out there, buy as much seed for the future. Who knows what next year is going to bring
yes.
us?
Lord have mercy.
Yeah. And here's some more good news. You know, water will be rationed to farmers this summer over in the Klamath Basin and other agricultural areas in eastern and central Oregon due to less rain and snowpack. And I can see, a bit of rationing. But this cuts the amount of land to grow food crops on.
Right.
And the main reason given is to save the fish.
Fish?
The fish in our streams instead of saving people and farmers. But, you know, who knows what anybody's thinking. It's like Klamath is going to get 8% of their normal water flow mm-hmm. through their canal systems that they spent, and they've got dams, you know, that hold back the water, but they're only going to get 8%. Now, if you're growing 100 acres of potatoes or 50 acres of tomatoes or whatever like that, and all of a sudden you only get 8% of your allotment of water that you signed up for, you know, 20 right. years ago, what's your crop going to be like? And what's the potatoes or tomatoes that survive, how expensive are they going to be? So mm-hmm. I just think that people should really tune in on growing their own vegetables mm-hmm. as much as possible. Get as much seed as you can find, buy it up, store it, whatever, and plant your gardens and do that. I mean, and here's another reason too. For the shortage of things, since 2001, over 11 million acres of land has been taken out of farm production.
Why?
Well, it's due to housing developments or hobby farms. And the question is, will farms be able to feed our U.S. population and the world population? Of course, we, you know, throw some over to the world there.
Mm-hmm.
And, and as this occurs, farmers are going to become the most important people on earth. I mean, because they got the food.
They got the goods.
Yeah. And you might be able to go without clothes or new clothes and other things, but you ain't going to go very far without that food. And
no.
you better make sure those farmers get their fair share of water so they can irrigate their crops and things. You want to take a break?
Sure.
Okay.
This sounds like a good time.
I'll get on a roll here after a while.
All right. We'll be right back. More Mike Winters, the Lawn and Garden Show here on a good-looking Wednesday afternoon in the Valley. News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240, KQEN.
Indeed it is, and we're back with Mike Winters.
And is it still 76, or is it...
I'll have to take it.
You don't have the temperatures on there, do you?
No, I will have
no,
it.
No, you will, yeah. You should have that in front of you all the time when I'm in this room.
When on demand.
Anyway, we're talking about gardens and farmers and water and the lack of there, and it's going to make, like I said earlier, you know, farmers are going to become the most important people on earth here before too long, and their prices will reflect that importance.
75.
So, how much?
75.
Well, I dropped a degree from the parking lot. Well, my advice to you, of course, is to prepare your backyard to grow as much as you want to eat. That means a person needs to educate themselves about soil, water, fertilizer, and how to grow what you like to eat on a regular basis.
How much sunlight it needs and so on and so forth.
Exactly. You need to know those things, and if you don't know them, get a book, talk to a gardener, talk to somebody who's successful, go out and talk to what's the kid's name? He used to be a senator. Senator.
Oh,
Cruz.
Dallas?
No, that's Dallas Hurd.
Oh.
Cruz. God. Yeah, Cruz. Yeah. Anyway, Cruz Farms or one of the other productive farms around here. Go talk to the people and most farmers will give you all the information that you want. I mean, they share their information. And, you know, they've done it for 100 years or 50 years or 20 years.
They know what they're doing.
Exactly, because they have to rely on their crop to make their living and feed their families, et cetera. So go out there and find out what do I need, or listen to me, or come to my nursery and I'll explain it to you. Or any nursery should be able to explain it to you. But anyway, don't wait until the last minute when Safeway closes down. Get started now. Join the Master Gardeners or some other organization that knows how to grow food, for crying out loud.
Should we take a phone call?
Yeah, I'd be glad to.
All right, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
Mike, you and your family are such a blessing to all of us in Douglas County. Thank you.
You're welcome, John. Do you have a question?
Yeah, I had a suggestion.
Okay.
I'm not trying to make extra work for you.
Good.
I would like to tell you that at your nursery you could, or however you wanted to stage it, you could teach people how to save non-hybrid seed, so that they could actually have a way to grow their crops from here to the next year to the next year to the next year.
Yeah.
Am I making sense?
Oh, you're making sense. If I had the time to do it, I'd be glad to do it.
I did not say that you had the time. I'm telling you that you would become an attractive magnet to the entire area.
John, I don't want to become an attractive magnet. Okay.
You're already booked up.
I'm already magnetized as much as I can be. I love your suggestion, and it's a good suggestion, but if I had the time and I didn't have so many other projects, I would certainly
Mike,
do
and
that.
I know that you're trying to retire, and I'd like to apologize. Please forgive me.
That's okay.
You have such a wonderful nursery, and your people and Jill are such incredible people. That's all I was functioning from.
Okay.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you, John, for the call. We appreciate it.
Take care.
I wish you well.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. All righty. Lines are open there.
Yeah, my lines are open. Well, anyway, as I was saying, you know, now's the time to prepare your backyard, your front yard, whatever yard gets the most sunlight, and where you can stretch a hose over and water the stuff. You know, you can grow, like I say, as much as you want to eat. And that means, again, people need to educate themselves about the soil. What kind of soil do you have? What do I have to add to it to make it usable and vibrant so my plants will grow? Water, how much do I water? How often do I water? Fertilizer, what type of fertilizer? How often do I do it? And, you know, you can grow. I mean, vegetables are easy to grow once you've done it once or twice. You're going to have some setbacks. Everybody does. But from those setbacks, you'll learn what really, I shouldn't have watered it that much, or I robbed it of water, or, you know, and you just pay attention to, because what you're growing is what you're going to eat. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're counting on. So, and as I said earlier, don't wait till, you know, Safeway or Freddy's closes down because they don't have any food on the shelves because of the smaller crops that farmers were able to raise because of lack of water by government edict. You know, that's, hey, come on, give us a break. They don't understand at all.
They
what was that?
That was the government.
Oh, hey, listening, huh? Well, listen up, good boys. But the Master Gardeners of here in Douglas County are a great group. They really have a lot of knowledge. They do a great job out there at River Forks with their gardens. They have a display garden. They have a vegetable garden. They have some greenhouses. Hey, they love to talk to people. Go out there and see what they do. Volunteer with them for a little bit. Maybe join up with them. And you'll see, you'll get great satisfaction from planting your own garden and actually getting your produce and putting it in on the table at dinner in September or October or whatever. Mm-hmm. Learn how to can, learn how to store. Look at all the positive aspects of that, so you don't have to lean on the food industry so mm-hmm. much. Yeah, I mean, it's good to have that, and there are other places that you can buy, like, quote, survival food, if you will, that's dehydrated, and you're just, you know, it's good forever, and all you gotta do is put it in a pot of water or whatever and cook it. Some of it's actually tasty, especially if you got some salt.
And it's actually healthy.
It is, especially if you got some salt and pepper you can add there, you know.
Yeah.
But And as I said in the past, a garden that's like 10 by 10, 10 feet by 10 feet, can grow you at least $700 worth of food each
wow.
year. That's the minimum amount. If you put the plants closer together, it'll probably grow you $1,000 worth of veggies. And if you got some veggies, and there's some rivers with fish in them, there's some hills with deer in them, and you can do some deals with some farmers to get a cow, that's... I'm not saying that's what we're going back to, but mm-hmm. prepare yourself and think about, if we had to, what would you do and how would you do it? That's my words of advice.
Maybe this COVID thing was a wake-up call.
Well, yeah, it could be. And the way the governors and et cetera are stretching it out, you think it was the end of the world. Well, it isn't. They're pushing it from a political perspective. But all you need is good soil and water. And you start now. Don't wait.
Yeah.
And if I were a young college-age person ready to go to college and seek my future, I would go to a real agricultural college and major in food production. I mean, forget philosophy and history and all that kind of
yeah.
stuff. Learn how to farm, and you'll be a wealthy person someday. Guarantee it. And if you think I'm just blowing smoke, watch. Anyway, I didn't intend to be negative, but I wanted to, I wanted my listeners,
to be aware
and prepare yourself in case the future unfolds like that. And,
right.
and every indicator I've seen, is kind of headed in that direction. We got another commercial or something?
No, the network wants to keep butting
well,
in.
Well, tell the network to back off. We don't want to hear from them. Oh gosh. Now, with a more stable spring weather pattern, it's beautiful out there today. It's been gorgeous for the week. Anyway, I believe this is a very safe time, to plant your seeds and your small plants. But if your garden plot is not prepared, you still have plenty of time to plant. Don't worry, you got to get it ready. But you can plant as late as June and still get a good crop.
Mm.
It's okay. It doesn't have to be planted in April or nothing's going to happen. I've planted, when we have leftovers at the nursery, we have all leftover plants, the crooked tomato plants or the bent over mm-hmm. strawberry that nobody wanted. Well, that's the ones I put out in my garden. And within about 2 weeks, they look beautiful and they're growing. And within 3 weeks and 4 weeks, they've got little tomatoes on them. And, and that happens maybe the mid-May to 1st of June, because most folks have already got their gardens in by then. So these are my leftovers. And so I plant my leftovers, and I get hundreds of pounds of produce from my leftovers.
Just as good as the other.
And we give them away because we have so much.
Yeah, wow.
Somebody comes in, like I said several times, they buy a $4 plant and say, hey, would you like some tomatoes?
Mm.
Oh, that'd be nice. And you hand them a shopping bag full of tomatoes, and they want to go, what? No, man, I can eat all those. So we'll take out the ones you don't want. And, if you only want 10 of them, we'll give you 10 of them.
Of them, yeah.
Choose what you want. They're free. Thanks for coming in.
Nothing better than a homegrown tomato.
Yeah, homegrown. No chemicals added.
I imagine that.
Yeah.
It's still alive.
Organic. But, you know, get everything prepared. Till up the ground. Kill the weeds. Add some good soil to it. Add some good compost to it. Get a mix so nice that when you're done tilling and spreading your good stuff, you can actually stick your hand in it, and you can stick your hand down into your wrist. That's loose and that nice. And that's when the young plants and the seed are ready to go in. Mm. Because those root systems will just take hold immediately. You give them sufficient water, and they're going to be growing before you know it. And within a week or two, you're going to be amazed at the amount of growth that you'll get. So,
wow.
And you're just going to produce all you can eat. I mean, that's all there is to it. So you might have to learn how to can, or find a buddy that knows how to can, and give him mm-hmm. half your produce, and he cans it all, or she cans it all.
Let's work together.
Yeah, let's work together. I mean, that's what we should do. Now, in this beautiful spring, more flowers, of course, and hanging baskets are starting to appear. And that's a good sign that spring has arrived. When you start seeing hanging baskets actually hanging, not what's that outfit out there? Lowe's.
Lowe's. Home Depot.
But actually in somebody's,
yard.
Front yard,
yeah.
It's the time. And they're beautiful, and we've got our baskets out. Well, we've got some of our baskets mm-hmm. out, and the bigger ones, and they're gorgeous. And if when you look at good-looking flowers, when you see a nice bunch of hanging baskets or a bunch of flowers planted in by your front door or your backyard or something like that, it lifts your spirits. It's something that's natural. It's something that's good. It's something that will please mm-hmm. you. It's something that if you sit down and look at them for a while, it'll throw all the negative garbage out of your mind.
Mood changing.
Exactly. Mood changing. And you can rest your eyes on that and contemplate the goodness that we have, and forget all this other garbage.
And every now and then you get a smell of that.
It's just good. So if the flowers, let's say you planted in February or March, are looking a little stressed, plant some more and enjoy some bright spots in your yard. The other ones will catch up. Don't worry. I mean, with this kind of weather, they can't help it.
Yeah, they love it.
Now, here's a question for everybody. Anybody ever hear of bee balm?
Can we answer that on the other side of the break?
If you have to.
Bee balm.
B-A-L-M.
Keep that in mind. Don't look it up. Just know.
Yeah, don't look it on your computers.
We'll be right back with more of Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All righty. Been waiting. What is bee balm?
Bee balm. Bee balm is a plant. And it's spelled B-E-E, like mm-hmm. honeybee.
Right.
And balm is B-A-L-M.
Okay.
So it's, it's medicinal.
Nice.
It's medicinal. It has a lot of other uses as well.
Do we have that in the county? Or?
Yes, it grows here in the county. I don't know. I have not personally seen any lately. Mm-hmm. But as soon as I finished my research on it, I told my wife, hey, can we get some bee balm somewhere? And mm-hmm. she says, yeah, I think I can get it. And I said, get some.
Get it.
We want it. Anyway, it's a long-time perennial plant, and it attracts bees, it attracts butterflies, and it attracts hummingbirds. So you'd have a real circus if you had a flock of these in your garden. But you plant them along in with your plants. You know, I've talked about in the past, putting different types of flowering annuals and perennials between my vegetable plants, and that attracts the pollinizers. That attracts the bees that go from flower to tomato, mm-hmm. flower to potato or whatever.
Right.
So it's good. You want that cross-pollination, and the bees are good. The bees don't bother you. Trust me, they're not out to bother you unless you start batting at them and making their life.
Make them a little ticked off.
Yeah, they get ticked off, and they might bite. And then, but if they do, they sting, and then they lose their stinger, and then they die. So they're not stupid. No. They're very smart, actually. When you start attracting those butterflies, the hummingbirds, the bees, etc., and they also come into your shrubs and trees. So if you have fruit trees, they'll be cross-pollinating your fruit trees. You'll have a lot of activity from three main pollinators. And you'll see the birds and the bees and the butterflies are all getting along with this plant. I mean, they don't beat each other to a pulp or anything like that. But bee balm was used for treating bee stings way before Walgreens was invented, or Payless in the old days. But I mean, that's what they took the sap, the leaves, the flowers, and if you got stung, I mean, they would spread that on you or mm-hmm. tape it to your sting or whatever. And that was, I guess, maybe one of the reasons they named it that. I'm not sure. But all three of these critters that I've been talking about are great pollinators. So if you can find some bee balm plants in this day and age, plant them in your garden or amongst your fruit trees or in some of your shrubs, and you will increase the number of pollinators that actually come in to do a good job for you in your landscape. Anytime you can attract pollinators to your garden, you're going to benefit from increased productivity in your garden. And this plant is even native to North America. It's native actually to the New England states, and where winters are severe, snow, all that kind of stuff. and it'll die down under severe freezing conditions and snow, etc. But as soon as spring rolls around again, bingo, it comes back.
So it's ready to go again.
It's ready to go again. It's a perennial. It comes back. And here on the West Coast, our weather is not as severe as the Northeast, mm-hmm. and so consequently, they do a little bit better here.
Nice.
And like I say, it's just finding the boogers out there and see who has them.
To get started with them. Yeah,
get started in there. But not only, of course, is bee balm a great pollinator, it has great medicinal properties as well. And it also, the leaves make a great tea. When the leaves dry up, mm-hmm. or you pick the leaves and put them in on the windowsill and they dry up, you can actually make tea out of it. And it's a medicinal tree, It, I don't know what it tastes like. I have no idea. But if you put enough sugar in it, probably got to taste good.
Anything tastes better
with sugar in it. But, back in the old days, back in the 1700s, 1800s, whatever, people used more plant materials for healing than we do. Of course, there's a comeback on it here with organic materials, et cetera, and the mindset that we have these days. And, hey, if a plant will heal me faster than a pill, I'm going to take the plant. It goes down better.
It's probably safer.
And you don't know who made the pill or what they put in
it. And what country it came from.
And it's kind of like this vaccination stuff. I'm hearing all oddball stories about things like that. And I hope it works. I hope it works for whoever takes it. It was manufactured by humans who are prone to error or prone to sabotage or whatever. Whereas that plant is growing right there in your yard, right there in your garden, and you can control its growth, you can prune it, you can do this, you can do all kinds of things with it. It's just a great, great plant. So, and I don't know what all the medicinal properties are, but I know that people make tea out of it, and I know that they use it for bee stings. And if you use it for bee stings, you could probably use it for spider bites and sunburn and scratches, too. I mean...
Makes sense.
It seemed to me it would be an overall good thing to be able to make a cream or a kind of a not a soup, another word, in a liquid form or something, or even in a dry form. With you put it on a wound and you put a Band-Aid on it or a bandage of some sort.
Yeah, like an antibiotic.
Yeah, yeah, that kind of thing. But from what I've read so far, it's great. It does is a really, really great thing. And, of course, like I said, I don't know what the tea tastes like, but that's how it is.
I would think it tastes a little bitter, but who knows?
Who knows? Well, way back in time, Native Americans taught the early settlers how to make tea from the leaves, and it was called Oswego tea. Why it's called Oswego tea, I don't know, but that was their name for it.
I wonder if that's where the town got the name.
Maybe they grow bee-balm by the acres up there. I don't know. But Native Americans said, hey, yeah, we drink this stuff. It makes us feel good. It gets us, you know, when we're sick, it makes us well, and all that kind of stuff. So. Huh.
I'll be darned.
I will try it. I will make some tea. I will use it as a medicinal product.
We can drink it together. Let's have our tea time.
Yeah, I'll bring a jug in here. We'll just we'll just go for it. Yeah. Makes us talk fast, too.
Yeah.
But a great thing about this plant is that, this is the greatest thing, is that deer and rabbits are not attracted to its scent. In other words, it has such a scent that the deer go, no way, I'm not going to eat that puppy. It doesn't even smell good.
The rabbits don't like it either, apparently.
Yeah, and that's great. So those are our two main plant predators that everybody's talking about. Yeah, I got deer. Well, you got any plants that are deer-proof? No, we don't. We got some that are deer-resistant. But maybe this bee balm thing. Because the animals are turned off by the aroma of the plant.
Right.
And so if you've got these plants planted in amongst your garden or amongst your azaleas or your other landscape shrubs, and you've got them kind of spaced out through there in some sort of a pattern, and the aroma's there, hey, the deer and the rabbits keep on going. They go next door, you know?
Yeah.
And say, hey. All right.
Let's check out Fred's place.
Yeah, Fred don't have this bee balm stuff. Let's go eat his place. and anyway, it'll keep the munchers away. And bee balm likes sun, but will do well with a little afternoon shade. So if you've got that kind of combination, it seems like that's the best bet to put it in.
Yeah.
And it has a scarlet flower on a tall stalk, and with the flower head, it's somewhere between 2 and 4 inches wide across, and very attractive. And it's also it's also available in red flowers, blue flowers, violet and white and pink flowers. So I mean, it's not just a one color deal. It's not, you know, it's got
get a combo,
a real combo, and it can be a very decorative plant. And the stems of the bee balm they're hairy. They got little fuzz. Like little hair growing on the stems, and they're square. The stems are not round. You know, most plants have got round stems.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, their stems are square.
That's strange.
Yeah, strange, right? I mean, this is cool. I mean, it heals you. And it looks strange and it grows funny. I mean, hey,
you can't miss it.
You can't go wrong with all that.
Yeah.
And they average about 2 to 4 feet in height.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've got a great location, they might get to 4 feet. If you got a mediocre location, they might, you know, just round out at 2 feet or 2.5 feet. And they bloom from late spring, whenever that is, to late summer. I don't know if we're in early spring, mid spring, or late spring right here. I have no clue.
No.
Nobody told me.
Hard telling.
But they'll bloom from late spring to late summer. So late summer could go clear into October. And I've seen it go into October.
Mm-hmm.
And the flowers only have a slight scent. But when you crush the leaves, there is a minty perfumed aroma. And I guess that's what the deer and the rabbits and some of the other critters don't like. They're rejected by it, or they turn their nose up.
How's that?
And it's actually, this plant is actually a member of the mint family. So, and it spreads, the root system spread underground with runners, and it also has seeds. So it can be invasive if you don't keep it in place, or you can let it go and run wild. I mean, whatever you like, because wherever the root runs, another plant, another stalk comes up, and you've got another plant.
Yeah.
And if you don't, just cut it off and transplant it somewhere else. You know, not in the middle of summer, obviously, but in the fall, winter, or early spring, you can just dig around and say, oh, there's a root.
There you go.
There's a root. I'll just do it. We got a break?
We do.
How did I know that?
We've been working together too long.
I know. You taught me a lot, though. You taught me a lot. Yeah. When you reach for the dial, I know we got a break.
We got a break.
Either that or a phone call.
We'll be right back. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show. News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Okay, we're back. We got distracted momentarily.
Momentarily? Oh, I see. When the manager came in and started shuffling papers
yeah.
behind our back. We didn't know if we were fired or not.
Well, yeah.
Oh,
none
God.
Of those are pink, are they?
Yeah, all of them are pink, by the way. But I don't care. Oh, golly. Anyway, I've been talking about bee-balm, and, you know, it's just kind of a cool thing. And like I said, it spreads underground through runners, but it also has seeds. So you can plant it, you know, from the runners, or you can plant it through from the seeds. So it can be invasive, so if you want to keep it in place, you got to do some root pruning on it, you know, and don't be afraid to cut the roots. You're not gonna cut all of them, just circle the plant and cut down with a sharp shovel or a knife or something like that and cut those puppies off, and it will grow thicker roots with what's left. And then the other, like I say, the runners, you can try pulling them out and replanting them in another spot of your yard. See if they actually grow. I'm sure you'd see something. I don't know what. But it not only grows on the East Coast, but it does well here in Oregon and Washington. And it does well in zones 4 through 9, and we're a zone 7 from the particular scale that I was reading from. So it's good in the cold. The cold doesn't kill it. I think the heat is more detrimental to it. I have in my research, I haven't seen where it's growing in the desert. It may grow in the desert in a shady place with you know, a little bit of breeze or something like that. I'm not sure, and I don't know what the net and end result would be that. But when you're planting it, you just don't want to dig a hole and stick it in the clay because it's going to struggle and maybe not make it. But when you're planting it, use a lot of compost. Apparently, it loves a lot of compost, and water deeply, at least like once a week through the first summer. And it'll respond well, and like I said, it's perennial. It'll come back. It'll die down in a harsh winter, probably. I don't know if it'll die to the ground, but it'll die back. And you know, you just next spring it comes back. And of course, like I said, you can propagate it by dividing the plants every 2 years, and that means if you want more plants and you've got one that say 18 inches wide, you take a sharp shovel, and I mean sharp, like razor sharp, round flat shovel, and just stab down into the middle of the plant and take that section of root, and you can divvy that up into two or three places, and then you can plant it around wherever you want. Mm. And then you're not going to kill the plant, trust me. It will. The only way you can damage the plant is if you try to do it with a dull shovel, you know, yeah. And just kind of bang it, and instead of cutting the roots cleanly, you kind of
wound it
and damage it and split it and do all that. I'm not saying it won't work, but chances are it'll be way behind, mm-hmm. and it won't be able to readily get started and do what you want. See, we have digging shovels at the nursery. They're flat, round point shovels, and there's no curve or anything to them. And we have a grinding wheel, and before we go out and transplant anything, we go to the grinding wheel and we put an edge on them, and then we take steel wool, and then we shine up that edge. And the shinier the entire shovel is, the quicker and easier it goes through the soil.
Mm.
If you got a dirty shovel and you try to do this, it's more work, and it's more physical exertion on your part, and it doesn't, you know, slide right through the soil, wet soil, where these that we use, they slide right through the soil, and it's a good clean cut on whatever root system that you're working mm-hmm. with, yeah. and you come out with undamaged roots, and you have a specimen that you can transplant safely somewhere else. So keep that in mind. Let's see what else we got here. Okay, the compost is important, and I'm not talking straight peat moss or something like that, but a compost mix with maybe some potting soil, maybe some bark, maybe some sand, all mixed together real nicely. So when you put it in, it doesn't compact, and it drains well, so that when you do water it, it's not going to sit in a swamp. It's mm-hmm. going to actually drain and grow roots for you, and that's what that's what you want to do.
That's the objective.
That is the objective. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
And if you divide these plants every 2 or 3 years, before you know it, you have a yard full of them. And the deer won't come within a block of your house because he can't stand the smell.
That might be the objective too.
But it doesn't smell. It's a very aromatic kind of scent. It's just it's nice. It's pleasant to humans. But for some reason to deer and rabbits, it ain't pleasant.
They don't like it.
It's like, hey, what do you do that for, man? And so if you'd like to make tea from your garden, have a lot of hummers and butterflies and honeybees and lots of flowers, plant some bee balm. And if you can locate it, I'm trying right now, as I said. But, you know, when you have a garden where you can, in the backyard, say, which is your private place, and you come home from the office or the mill or the county or whatever, wherever you work, in the radio station, and you got a secret place in your backyard. Nobody can touch you for an hour or so. Nobody bugs you for an hour.
Right.
And it's beautiful. And it takes the stress away. It's healthy for you. It's good. And with that, I'll shut up. So thanks for listening.
All right. Where are you located in Winston, Mike?
We're on Highway 99, about a half mile south of Winston. And we look for the big green roofs. And that's Wintergreen Nursery, Landscaping, and Florist.
All right. Happy belated birthday, my friend.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.